All right. Unlikely Christmas. Christmas is fun, isn't it? Thank you. I got one over here. That's good. Unlikely Christmas. This morning, I want to have entitled this Unlikely Hope. Hope is an interesting thing, isn't it? Sometimes it's hard to define. There's power in hope. You really feel the power of hope when hope's not there, right? I don't know if you've ever been in a hopeless situation. You realize how powerful hope can be. There was a particular time I remember an unlikely hope. I was 10 years old. I was on the last row of a football stadium on a New Year's Day bowl game. And it was exciting. East Carolina was playing, which is my team, and we were playing NC State. So if Matt Murray's watching, just want you to know we played NC State that day. And it was about 8 minutes left in the game. NC State was whooping us pretty good. It was 34-17. If you know football, they doubled our score, and there was only 8 minutes left in the game. And I remember in the stadium, I was 10 years old, so I, you know, kind of paying attention. And then I heard something in the crowd. It was, What was that? It began to get a little louder. What was that? And then you begin to hear it. It got louder. We believe. We believe. And literally every purple and gold fan in the stadium was screaming, "We believe." Now, I don't know what we were believing in because we were getting our butts beat. But we believe. And one of the most epic comebacks I've ever seen. In 8 minutes, we scored 3 touchdowns and won that game. And it was awesome. And I became like a true fan. You know, you're a fan and then you have those moments where you're like, "I'm a fan." And that was one of those moments. It was an unlikely hope. It was a turnaround we didn't expect. Maybe some Carolina fans know what that feels like after State did that this year to them, but just throwing fires, man, on everybody. But it was interesting. It was hope-filled. It was, things were dark, and then there was an inkling of faith. And it came through. Now, Webster's 1828 dictionary describes hope this way: a desire of some good accompanied with at least a slight expectation of obtaining it, or a belief that it is obtainable. Hope differs from wish and desire in this, that it implies some expectation of obtaining the good desired or the possibility of possessing it. Hope believes. Hope maybe is this inkling that something better may happen. Now, Morgan Harper Nichols, who's a musician, author, and poet, in her book of art and poetry called All Along You Were Blooming, she put it this way: hope is a small rebellion. Hope is a small rebellion. It is the willingness, when you're kind of in this river or this current that's pushing you towards the inevitable, that you put your feet down. That's what hope does, right? It says, "I'm going to choose to resist." It's a small rebellion. I love that. When things are going bad and they've been bad before and they've been bad for a long time, it's easy to agree with and embrace the demise of what's coming. Or you can have hope. Now, about 500 years before Jesus was born, out of the mouth and pen of Isaiah, God would sow a seed of rebellion, a seed of hope, to emerge in an unlikely place. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 9 this morning. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 through 7. "But there will be no gloom, for he who was in anguish in the former time. He brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations, or Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulders and the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. So you hear that war language, war, and then peace is coming. Who will shatter this burden? Who will break the staff? A child is born. A son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Let's pray. Father, help us today see the hope of Jesus and help us to apply it in your name. Amen. Where we're going this morning, our need for hope, the hope we need, and hope in action. Number one, our need for hope. Now, we have a context for this passage. Jesus would be born into a Hellenized and a Roman Israel. If you're a Jew in the time of 4 AD, over the last few hundred years, your nation has been ravaged by war. The Greeks would have destroyed you. Alexander the Great would have conquered you. You would have been kind of parceled out among his generals. Then in this spark of hope, these Jews would rise up and they would take their nation back, maybe for 100 years. The Maccabees, as they would be called. They would even mint their own cash and money. They would kind of have this hope, this excitement, like maybe a new day for Israel is here, only to have Pompey come out of Rome and destroy your country, march into your temple and desecrate the Holy of Holies, and then put you back under Roman rule. This is where you are. Now, Israel was allowed to keep the temple. They were allowed to do their religious acts, but you were in Galilee. You were far away from Jerusalem, up the Jordan River. This is where you were. Now, the Bible describes that in chapter 9 of Isaiah, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them a light has come. Hope is coming. That's the promise. Hope. Now, hope we need. We need hope. If you know, there was some studies done on some lab rats, and they put them on this wheel, and they would only run a little while, but if you gave them a prick of light to look at, they'd run for days. It's just hope. Hope that maybe if they kept running, they'd get to a better place. In 1972, on October 13th, a Uruguayan rugby team called the Miracle of the Andes was flying over the Andes Mountains, and their plane would disappear. And they would crash, and they knew they were gone. They didn't know where they were. Some bad information. They were searching in all the wrong places. But a number of them were able to put together some equipment and go to the top of a mountain and get a radio signal. And they would listen, and they heard that they were being searched for, and there was hope. And they began to believe and survive. But one day, a group of them goes up to the mountain to hear, and this is what they hear. They're calling off the search. They're doomed. And so a couple of them decided, hey, let's not tell everybody quite yet. Let's don't cause them to lose hope, but a couple of them who heard the information gave up hope. And within days, they died. And others who believed said, well, that door is closed. Maybe there's another door. We're going to have to find our way out of here. And they found their way down to a riverbed eventually, found some human life, and were able to get rescued. And they rescued most of them, even though many did die. But the ones that died, the ones that gave up hope, we need hope. Now, hope is a light in the darkness. That's what the scripture says. Now, it defines darkness this way, those who walk in darkness. Now, all of us have been in dark places. Now, darkness is, in this kind of metaphor, those who walk in darkness, it kind of gives off this idea of individual darkness, that you might be living in darkness. That maybe there's some things that you've done. Maybe you've lived a sinful lifestyle or in sin right now. In fact, John 3 verse 19 says, and this is the judgment, light has come into the world, speaking of Jesus. And people love darkness rather than light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is right and true comes to the light. So you can live a lifestyle of darkness. You walk in it. Could be a decision you make. That can be darkness. You can have darkness in you because maybe you've had traumatic experiences from your past. Like a shadow, it casts a shadow on your future. That could be darkness for you. Maybe you're in middle school and you've said or done something that someone saw and they labeled you. That happened to me. Right? And now there's this reputation about who you are. Everywhere you go, that's who you're known for. That could be a dark place. I won't even tell you what they used to call me in middle school. Or you're in high school and you're struggling with your identity and you don't know who you are. And maybe you have desires and attractions and you're not sure. And that's a dark place for you. Trying to figure out, who am I? Maybe you're a parent and you feel powerless to help your kids. That can be a dark place. Maybe you're a spouse and you look over and you don't see the future of what this other person and you might become. It looks dark. Maybe you're a new mom. Hormones are raging. The realization that your life will never be the same. That can be a dark place, a dark season, a dark years even. Or maybe you've got a job and it's not aligning with your passions. It seems like a dead-end job and you're not quite sure how you're going to make ends meet. Or maybe you've been betrayed by a friend or in a toxic community and everything around you is darkness. There's darkness everywhere, y'all. Now, this is a deep hole we can go down. But we've all been there. We've all walked in darkness. But it doesn't just limit to individual darkness here. It says, the land that you dwelt in was full of darkness. And y'all don't want me to go there. There's darkness everywhere. But we need hope. I want to encourage you today that whatever the darkness you're facing, a light has dawned. Light doesn't dawn in light. Light dawns in darkness. Which brings me to my second point, the hope we need. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. A light is coming. A light is coming. The hope we need is, according to this scripture, a baby. Didn't that seem unlikely? I'm going to need more than this, right? A baby is coming. A child will be born. A son is given. We want deliverance now. If I want hope, I want a warrior. I want a man on a horse. I want an army. I want a pill. I want something. But not a baby. It's unlikely. The hope we need is God, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Do you understand? Do you hear those words? That is the Trinity. That is God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, the Wonderful Counselor, what Jesus would call the Spirit of God in John 14, 15, and 16. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, a Father who will walk with us. The hope you need isn't a method. The hope you need isn't 12 rules for life or 7 practices. The hope you need is a person named Jesus. It's a relationship with the God who created you. We don't need rules, y'all. If the problem was doing what we know to do, we'd be out by now. The hope we need is God who came to us. What did you have to do with the dawn of today? Did y'all go around the house? All right, who wants the sun come up today? All right, we got 3-2. All right, go ahead up. No, the dawn comes. See, Jesus comes into our world. Our hope comes. Do you understand this? That God came to us. He didn't wait for you to have the right posture. All right, is everybody ready? I'm about to come out. Y'all have seen like a concert, right? You see the artist is in the back. Is everybody in their seats? Is everybody, you know, it's like my dad cooking. You know, he'll wait till everybody's real hungry. And then when he brings out the food, you're like, this is the best meal I've ever had. He's like, yeah, son, that's hunger is the best spice. Well, it always tastes good when I cook. You're right, Dad, it's amazing. It's 2 hours late. Here's that person in the back of the concert, man. Had I been out there an hour? All right, now it's time to come, you know. Here God is. He didn't wait for us. He came. The light has come. We don't need hope in God. We don't need the universe to speak to us. I need the God of the universe. I don't need positive vibes. I need Jesus. I need someone who's touched this, who's felt what it feels like to have someone die, who knows what it is to experience pain. That's what I need. Positive thoughts to you. Good for you. I need the God of creation. We need God, not the universe. I need the God of the universe. I don't need a piece of artwork. I need the artist. A constant companion, a counselor. I mean, counseling's hip right now, y'all. Sign me up. But I need more than that. I need someone on call 24/7 a day, you know, 24/7 all day long. I need that counselor to be like, hey, right now I need some help. Jesus, I need you. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? I need a constant companion. The God who made me, the God who knows my weaknesses, a father who will be with me forever, a dad who knows what's best for me, will never leave me, an everlasting father, a brother who knows my temptations, who understands my sufferings, who's experienced them, a friend who would die on the cross and pay for my sins, my selfishness, and my rebellion. This is the hope we need. The hope we need is God who came to us, not a way to get to God. I don't need a stairway to heaven. I need heaven come all the way down. See, y'all remember. Now it's all blurry because I feel like you could see this in July. But y'all remember when the Christmas lights come up and you see them for the first time? They keep pushing it back or forward. You know, it's like Halloween. There's Christmas lights out. What in the world, y'all? Don't ruin Christmas. If it's all year, it's not special, you know? I came home after a football game, and Michelle had already put up a tree. She told me it was a Thanksgiving tree. And I was like, okay. There wasn't anything red on it, and there were like autumn leaves on it. So I was like, wait a minute. But that first time you see a Christmas light, it kind of does something in you. Like, oh, it's close. Someone else does the work, brings out the boxes, decorates. You see it, and something sparks in you. And that's the hope of the gospel. Someone did all the work, turned on the light, and something sparked hope in you. That's the beauty of Christ and the gospel. He comes to us. A light has come. A light has dawned on you. He does the work. That's the hope we need. We need a God-man, Jesus. We need a relationship with God. We don't need a program or simply a way. We need the God of the way. And that's what's beautiful about Jesus, that he comes to us. He even kind of embeds in this passage, Isaiah does, like in the days of Midian. If y'all remember, in Midian, it was a reference to what Gideon did in Judges 6, 7, and 8. And if you'll remember, Gideon had gathered about, I don't know, tens of thousands of troops, and God just sent them all home. He goes, if you're afraid, go home. And like two-thirds left, and I know Gideon's like, God, like, at least, like, have them stand in the back. You know, send them all home. It's too many. When he got done, he had 300. And it wasn't like Thermopylae. They didn't fight. They sat in the back with a torch in their hand and said, ah! And then they routed themselves. A miracle. What did they do? Nothing. That's what's beautiful about this, is that when God comes, he does it. This is the hope. We're putting our hope in the God who comes to us. It's interesting that when hope comes, if you are in this place, it doesn't always feel good. We want it to feel good. Like maybe you're at school and you're feeling alone. You're in a dark place. Maybe you're trying to stand for righteousness and no one else is. Maybe all the Christians you know are silent. They're more worried about what their friends think than what God thinks. That's a dark place. But God will meet you. He'll walk with you because he's your friend. He's your companion. He's speaking words over you that no one else will. He'll turn on the light. Not a method, but himself. Not the fullness of what the hope we need. The hope we need starts as a baby. It grows. It starts as a seed. It grows. You're not going to get everything all at once. Right? We want the fulfillment. But God starts with hope. And that hope, I mean, you walk in darkness and then somebody turns on the light, it hurts. Don't think, this doesn't feel right. It must not be God. It's probably God. We want everything to just feel right. Oh man, this is great. Every step I took, it just felt awesome. When you push against the current, it never feels good. So just because it's hard, just because it doesn't feel right, just because it hurts, doesn't mean it's not God. Is he a wonderful counselor? Is he Almighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace? A baby who would grow up to lead the nations. That's our hope. The hope we need is a person. Christmas is a reminder that God made the first, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth move toward us to initiate relationship, turning the light on, giving us hope. That's awesome. He didn't just shine the light. The dawn comes all the way to the top till it's noon. That's the God we serve, not to leave us in our darkness, but to meet us there, to give us hope, because our hope, it's interesting how the verbiage here, listen, it says the light has dawned, it happened. You have seen a great light, On them a light shone. It's past tense. Because we know now that Christ came, but we also know that Christ is coming. And our hope, though in this life, there's hope right now for the forgiveness of sins, for the healing of your bodies. God will step in. He will break into our kingdom and do pretty awesome things, but our ultimate hope isn't here. And I think that's sometimes where we get disappointed. We even sing this song, "You've Never Let Me Down." And that's true. God never lets you down. In fact, he never breaks covenant with you. But he's not going to meet all your expectations either, because our hope is in the life to come, a relationship that transcends this life. We want something neat and packaged, all my wish list come true, but that's not always the case, because our hope isn't only here. The light is coming too. Hope in action, number three. Our need for hope. The hope we need, and hope in action. Now, when we think about Christmas, God pretty much does all the heavy lifting. Like, all right, we're going to have to send down angels, you know. We're going to have to align planets and stars, or however he did that. We have to wake up some magi. Like, all right, what else do we need? Oh, we need some grunt work. Okay, get those shepherds over here. All right, let's God do all the heavy lifting. But he also allows us to participate. Listen to this verse on our salvation in Ephesians 2. It says, "For by grace you have been saved." I was reading this with my kids this week during our morning devotions and just, you know, reminding myself afresh that it's by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It's the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, his craftsmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we may walk in them. Good works aren't for salvation, but they are for participation. Look at that. Good works aren't for salvation, but they are for participation. So God does the work. He saves us by grace through faith, but then he invites us into the nativity. Unlikely. Now look at this. Let me show you what hope in action looks like. Mary, a teenage girl, unmarried, a virgin. What does she have to do? She has to humbly submit to God when she doesn't have all the answers. Sounds like the Christian life to me. You want all the answers? Tough. You're not getting them. I still don't have them all. But that's not hope in action, is following and obeying Jesus. Your will be done. I don't know why you're doing it this way. I chose somebody else. But he's calling me in, right? He's calling you in to the story. Joseph, this is hope in action for you, Joseph. Stay married. Stay engaged. Take it all the way. Statistics say if you'll just stay married for a few more years, things will turn around. Now, there's more at stake than that, but that's just statistically accurate. And so here, it looked like staying married. That's what hope in action looked like. Committing, believing God. I don't know what you're doing, but I'm about to die. Well, come on, let's go. Shepherds, this was inconvenient. It's at nighttime. How many of y'all like to get up in the middle of the night? Nobody? Just a couple of us? Okay. Two or three. That's good. Good for y'all. I don't. In fact, it takes a lot to get me out of bed. My wife can attest. The kids came in here three times last night. Really? Didn't hear them once. It was awesome. You know, just slept right through. But hope and action look inconvenient. I need you to move all these sheep out from the open field all the way into Bethlehem. Hope and action is doing something sometimes that you don't feel like doing. It's hard work. The Magi, you know what hope and action look like for them? What? Money. They'd invest. I'm believing God that things should change. And I'm going to give into this so that I could see it change. That's what the Magi did. They looked and they said, man, I'm going to go and these people don't look like me. They're not of my nationality. They're not a part of us. And I'm going to go to them with gifts and call out destiny. That's the Magi, y'all. So hope and action mean giving, mean investing. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I don't know about y'all, but that sounds expensive. See, hope in action is doing something. It's moving forward. We believe, therefore we walk into it. It's not for salvation, but it is for participation. Now this Christmas season, this is, you have to realize that hope is not the fulfillment, it's just the beginning. So what might this look like in your home? What might this look like in your apartment? What seed can you plant this Christmas season that might be bear fruit in the future? What tradition might you bring into your home? What thing might you kind of move your normal operating system out of to see fruit for the future? I'm thinking about that for my own home. How can we make sure Jesus doesn't slowly and unintentionally become moved out to maybe the second or the third priority in the Christmas season this year? It's easy to do. You can wake up and start packing boxes and be like, where was God? In Christ Mass, Christmas, what happened? It's easy, y'all. Don't act like it's we all do it. So how am I going to bring Christ into Christmas this year? How are we going to implement something? I know for us it was doing an Advent. It was doing some kind of lighting candles. I know I did this as a kid. I don't remember, you know. But we're re-implementing it. Why? Because I need something in my soul and my schedule to remind me of who he is and what he's done. What might that be for you? I'm not telling you do it all. If you have older kids, that might mean sitting down and asking them, how do we make Christmas about Jesus and not ourselves? Brainstorm. Gather everybody together. Let's get some buy-in and move in a different direction. Just a seed of hope. Just a baby that might grow and change the culture of our home, our extended family. What practice, what seed of hope can I do in my lifestyle that might bring hope to my extended family? That might bring hope to my city? To help reframe what the world says Christmas is about. And remember, it's about God meeting me where I was, in my darkness, in the land of darkness. Because we have a land of darkness, and I'm not content with the way it is. How are we going to see the light dawn in our city and in our nation? What seed of hope can we plant in our city? In this church? What might we be able to put hope in action, invest, do something to see God push forward the kingdom while we breathe on this side of heaven? If you're walking in darkness today, let me encourage you. A light has come. If you're bound up in sin, there's hope for you. See, futility, Jay Stringer wrote a book called Unwanted, Getting Healing from Unwanted Sexual Desires. And this is what he says the cocktail of addiction is, futility. It's one of the ingredients. When you look up and don't see and don't have hope, you're 7 times more likely to delve into pornography and go deeper and deeper. But if you have purpose, the trajectory changes. And that's just porn. I'm not even talking about substances. I'm not even talking about the other darkness we turn into. Well, here's the beautiful thing, is that Jesus will meet you right in your darkness. He'll dechain you and he'll walk with you out into a new day for your soul. It might be a baby. It might be a small step toward a new reality, but your light is dawning. He will shine his light on you. That's why we spend time in this Bible. That's why we beat that in up here a lot, is that if we don't get in this, it's not that we are shining the light, but we position ourselves that the light will shine. to see the goodness of God, to see that God will meet us in our darkness. We know that because the Word tells us that. Time with God. If you're walking in darkness this morning, maybe you need to confess that to someone who can help you walk out of it. That's an integral part. Having someone in there to shine the light on us is so helpful. This Christmas season, let me remind us from Isaiah 9 that we need hope. But hope isn't something we conjure up. Hope is hearing the good news of Jesus, that he's coming and has come. That he knows where you are and loves you right there. Right there, before you've confessed, before you've done anything, he loves you right there. Hear that. He'll sit with you in your pain. He'll sit with you in your sin. He'll put his arm around you, and he'll slowly, gently drag you out if you'll respond to him. That's the beauty of Christ. He comes to us. He comes to us. He comes to us. I don't care how dark it is. Your light will dawn if you'll look to Christ. Your light will dawn. It's the hope you need. It's the hope I need. A relationship with the God of creation who loves me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the hope of the gospel. Thank you for the hope of this season, the excitement, the music, the bells, the whistles, the presents, Lord, all of that. But may we not forget, may we remember today that this is about you, a God who would step into our dark world and meet us in our darkness, shine a light on us, start a work in us that will never end, start a relationship in us that will never end, an everlasting Father. Lord, if there is anyone in this room this morning who is trapped in darkness, I pray that you'd give them hope today. Lord, they'd hear this word from you that your light is dawning. Come to me. Come to me, you who walk in darkness, and I will give you light for your soul. Father, I pray that you would give us hope for our city, hope for our families, hope for our nation, hope for the nations of the earth, God, that a king has come. And the government will rest on his shoulders. And the increase of that government, there will be no end. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He will bring an end to all war. He will gather a people from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. Thank you, Lord, for the hope of eternal life. Relationship that starts now and lasts for eternity. Lord, we're grateful for this season to remember that you came to us. You didn't beckon for us to come to you. You came to us first. Thank you, Father. Father, I pray for every individual in here, every individual online who is stuck, who seems to revert to futile ways, that you give them the courage and the strength to come to the light. It's waiting. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being with us this morning. Why don't we stand to our feet? as we get ready to exit, I hope you guys have an amazing Christmas season. We're going to be out this week on Wednesday night. Hopefully the rain will hold off or change or something. But if it does rain, we'll be inside. I mean, it's not like, oh my God, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to go inside and we're going to worship, okay? But we're going to, hopefully it'll stay off. We can be outside and be together and worship. Join us on Wednesday night, 7 p.m. We'll see you next week. You guys have an amazing day. If you need prayer, we're going to be up here. We'd love to stand with you and pray for you. If you need prayer online, fill out a connection card and we would call you and pray for you. Thank you guys for being with us. Turn around before you leave. Turn around. Look somebody in the eyes. Tell them you're glad they're here. We'll see you next week.